Welcome back to the Next Big Thing podcast. I'm your host, Sam Ogborn. Before we get into today's podcast episode, do yourself a favor and go get a snack. And I'm telling you this because I am your friend and I don't want you to be starving like I was when I actually recorded this podcast. Today on the podcast, we have Skylar Mapes of Xau Olive Oil. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if you've already heard of Xau because in 2019, they competed and won to be inducted into the official index of the world's best olive oils. I'm not going to lie, when I first talked to Skylar, I feel like we connected immediately. She and I talked, I think, for 2 hours just about her story and how she came to be the founder, co-founder of Xau with her husband. It's an amazing story. Like I said, you're going to want to have a snack because she talks about a lot of mouth-watering recipes. It's kind of like they say, don't go grocery shopping if you're hungry. And we've all been there. Grab a snack, kick back, and enjoy this amazing episode. And I will catch you on the flip side. Hey, Skylar, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit about Xau Olive Oil. So you started this company with your husband. How did the two of you meet? I'm very intrigued by this story.
So Giuseppe and I met in 2014. My background's in architecture, and one of my professors, my last semester of university, told me that she would offer me an internship at an architecture firm in Barcelona if I would take her seminar. And so I did take her seminar because, of course, why wouldn't I? And I ended up spending the entire summer in Barcelona. And about 3 weeks into that trip, I went to Rome for the weekend with my roommates and I met Giuseppe. And we hung out that entire weekend.
Okay, wait, hold on. Where did you guys meet?
Sorry, Rome.
Oh, that's right. You were in Rome.
Yes.
And where were you?
I can't remember the neighborhood. Giuseppe would have to tell you.
Like, were you out for food? Were you out, like, dancing?
We went out after dinner. So we were going dancing, basically. It was three women architects, or future architects, in Rome. So as you can imagine, it was a special experience for us because we were seeing these buildings that we had studied for years. And being able to see them in person was really beautiful and special. And that night when I met Giuseppe, he actually wasn't supposed to be out because he had exams that week or the following week at his university. So he was not supposed to be out that night. And it was just really serendipitous how we met.
And so what happened? So you meet and you're studying abroad. So where do things go?
So we hung out the rest of the weekend and he told me he would come visit me in Barcelona if I flew back to Rome and then drove down to Calabria to meet his mom.
No big deal.
Yeah, I was really taken aback because I was like, oh, I've known this person for a couple weeks and now he wants me to meet his mom. Like, that's moving kind of fast. But he told me, like, I'm from Calabria. It's this beautiful place in South Italy. It's summer. Come to Rome and then we'll drive down. It'll be so much fun. We'll go to the beach, we'll go swimming. And yeah, just come visit. And so I agreed and he came to Barcelona first and hung out for about 4 days. And that was great. And then I flew to Rome. We drove 7.5 hours down to Calabria. And when you're doing that drive, it's down the spine of Italy. So you're going through all these tunnels and on these really high roads that kind of feel like bridges because they're so high up. That's just how the highway is. And so you're going through all these tunnels and it's cutting through these hills, these rolling green hills. It's really beautiful. And then finally you start to get by the coast towards the very end of the drive. You start driving along the coastline. And when I arrived to meet his mom, it was really dark outside. And I saw kind of this reflection in the water and I was like, oh, I can smell the sea. And that looks like a reflection of water over there. I mean, we must be really close to the sea. His parents opened the door and Giuseppe had told me that his mom spoke Spanish because she used to live in Argentina when she was a kid. So I'm speaking to her in Spanish, and she's just kind of like politely nodding her head. And it turns out she actually doesn't speak Spanish anymore. So just something is like, Mom, you told me you spoke Spanish. Like, you need to speak Spanish to her. And she's like, I don't remember. So we go in the kitchen and there's just so many plates of food. Fried fish, parmigiana, a lot of like food under oil, which Calabria is famous for. So they make food sott'olio, like olives under oil. And I ate so much. And I remember her watching me as I was eating. And I was like, Giuseppe, why is your mom watching me? And he said, Mom, why are you watching her? And she said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm watching to see if she enjoys the food.
Oh my God. First time meeting.
First time meeting. This was in like within the hour of meeting.
Oh my gosh. So then where do things go from there? You meet the parents, and then where does this idea come about?
So it took a couple years for us to kind of figure out where we wanted our life to go. Because we had long distance for a while, me living in the U.S. and Giuseppe still living in Rome. And we decided, you know what, let's get married and not do long distance anymore. And let's settle in the U.S. And Giuseppe came to the U.S. to live. I believe this was in 2016 at this point. And we're at the grocery store and he picks up a bottle of olive oil. And we go home, we're starting to cook, and he tastes the oil and he just thinks it's one of the worst things he's ever tasted in his life.
Do you remember what the olive oil was? Not to name brands, but is it like a common olive oil brand?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I said, it's olive oil. And he goes, no, it's not. And I said, yes, it is. It says on the bottle. And he's like, this is not olive oil. I don't know what this is, but I'm not eating it. I refuse to consume this. And one thing that, like a memory I have that's really vivid to me is during that first trip to Calabria when shortly after Giuseppe and I met, he had asked me, do you want to meet my olive trees? And I thought it was kind of strange that he was asking me if I wanted to go see his olive trees. Even though I'm from Northern California, I've spent a lot of time around vineyards and wineries. I just hadn't been around olive groves before. So I went to meet the olive trees and they were beautiful. And that was my first, during that summer trip to meet his parents, was really the first time that I tasted really high quality olive oil. And it was really different than the olive oil I had tasted previously.
Yeah, for listeners, how would you describe it?
It's round and deep and very fruit forward, and it has all these different fragrances on the nose. So one olive that, again, this is specifically talking about Calabrian olive oil. And right. If people drink wine, then they'll notice that there are a lot of similar characteristics, and the words that we use to describe olive oil are very similar that we use to describe wine. But for the most part, Calabrian olive oil is medium-bodied, round, fruit-forward. You can pick up notes of a little bit of citrus, very bright green grassy notes, maybe some pine nuts or almond. It depends on the varietal. In Calabria, they're very famous for growing a tree called Caralea, mm-hmm. Which we can talk about more later. But it has this depth that's not, it's in layers. So this is not like flavors that you're going to get from just an ordinary olive oil that you'd buy at a big box store. The flavors are so much deeper.
Interesting. And you noticed a difference right when you tasted it for the first time.
Yes.
So when Giuseppe's trying this American olive oil, where does the light bulb moment come of potentially starting your own company?
I'm not 100% sure if there was a light bulb moment, but he said, I can't do this. Why? My family has been making olive oil forever. Why don't I just bring my own? So for him, it wasn't like immediately a business idea.
yeah,
it was
like,
more him
we
saying,
just need good olive oil here for ourselves.
Yeah, he was like, why don't I just send like a 150 liter tank to the US for my own personal use? And then people were like, well, wait, can you send me some too? And that's when I think that the idea started to form for him. Because it was his idea. It was, he presented this to me in 2015 to actually start the company. Or was 2015 to actually start the company. He wanted it to be a much bigger project than it actually started off being. But it worked out a lot better because starting a company smaller, you're able to control a lot more of what's happening behind the scenes and be really involved in that process. So yeah, I think that he did it. His little seed of an idea was really incredible.
And where does the name Exile come from?
It stands for Exaudus Olivis, which in Latin directly translates to white olive. However, the meaning, it's a symbolic meaning. So it means the olives are picked before ripe, while still green, while still young. And we harvest most of our olives while they're still green, which means we get less oil, but it's a higher quality.
Interesting. And you guys, just for the listeners, you're based here in Austin, but you're currently working with Calabrian farmers. Is that right? Or how are you making the olive oil currently?
So all of the olives are estate grown in Calabria. So the olives are grown on family property. So we own one of the properties, and next to us is the aunt's properties. And down the road, like a half mile down the road, is Giuseppe's uncle's property. So there's three family estates that we're getting our olives from, and we tend to them year round. So we know exactly how the trees are cut. We know exactly what's going on in the property. We have a chemist come out and visit and test the soil, make sure that the trees are really happy and healthy, managing how much they're being watered. Like every single thing that you can measure, we measure.
Wow. And so I know you touched on a little bit before about what makes Exile different when it comes to olive oil and how Giuseppe had his first experience with American olive oil. Is there anything else that you'd like to touch on and as to how Exau is a little bit different than what we might experience here in the States?
Yes, so because we manage every step of the process when we're producing the oil, the quality of oil that we're producing is very, very high. And when I say that, I mean, we're going to be flying back to Calabria in mid-September because harvest starts at the very end of September. So we're gonna go, we're actually out there harvesting with our team. And so I'm not sitting back in a chair or back in an office somewhere saying, hey, make sure you harvest like 5 tons of olives today and you get them to the press by this time. Like, no, I'm out there actually working, using the branch shaker to get the olives off the branches, into the nets, into the crates, into the half-ton bins, down to the press. Every single step of the process that happens when making olive oil, we're managing. And then once we actually get to the press, our chemist also owns the press. So he's ensuring that the process is very, very clean and sterile, washing all the equipment. And then after the oil comes out of the press, he's doing the lab tests. So it really is, we're hands-on the entire process. And then when it comes to bottling, we're also bottling and label, palletizing, exporting, and then when it gets to the US, we're selling direct to consumer.
Awesome.
So we know where the oil came from and we know exactly where it's coming. And this helps us have a really strong relationship with our customers, and it builds trust because they can see me on social media when I'm on IG Live or when I take photos and create that video content. I'm there harvesting, and then we tell them about the equipment we're using and about all the machinery at the press. Like, we have a very step-by-step process that we go through to explain exactly how olive oil is made. And so it's also extremely educational for our customers.
I love that. And then that's probably where they can start to see that they're not getting that same kind of story really with the olive oil that they're buying at the grocery store.
Yeah, there's a disconnect. They can't really see what trees the olives came from, because I found that we're not as transparent as we used to be with where our food came from. And so one of the main goals at Exhale is to bring back that transparency and share with people, look, this is the tree, this is the olive, this is the press, this is the bottle, this is your oil on your doorstep.
Amazing. That's truly what direct to consumer is all about, is mm-hmm. being able to understand that as a consumer and being able to tell the story just like the founder would. Who would you say that everyone owns a bottle of olive oil in their home, but is there a specific type of target audience, target consumer that you're going after with Exhale?
If you had asked me in December, I would say, yes, she is a 37-year-old woman with two kids and a career and loves elevated products, but also enjoys cooking at home for her friends and family. Like, that would have been my answer in December. But after COVID-19 and quarantine, I'm noticing that our target market has broadened quite a bit. And we have a lot more male customers. And
that's
a lot
so
more Italian Americans that have Calabrian roots, and they want to feel more connected to where their family's from.
And how are they hearing about it?
Social media, a lot of Italian travel planners. So we have a really, really strong Italian American travel community. They're mostly women, and they plan trips from the US to Italy, or from other parts in Europe to Italy, Australia to Italy, but always to Italy. And they're able to build relationships with their clientele, and they have a really strong following, and we've become really good friends, like creative business relationships and really strong friendships with these people. And so we're planning on working with them more in the future, which I'm really excited to share with you later. But we built kind of this community. And so I think that's how a lot of the Italian Americans in the US are finding us, because they're just kind of putting out their feelers for other people in that industry.
Interesting. It's like a word of mouth type thing.
Yeah, which is very Italian.
So. Yeah. I love it. Okay, so beyond that, then that word of mouth, what other marketing tactics has helped you get the word out? It sounds like social media has been really powerful. What else have you seen work really well?
Events. So pre-COVID, we did a lot of events, in-person events and trade shows throughout the spring into holiday season since the company started. And Exhale started in late 2017. So that has been really beneficial for us. But since we can't do events anymore, everything has shifted online. So we've done a couple virtual events where we've hosted cooking classes or educational classes, helping people learn how to taste olive oil and what to look for in a high quality olive oil. I think right now everything's evolving really quickly. So I'm excited to see what happens in the event space.
Yeah. So going back to pre-COVID, when you say events, let's dive into that a little bit more. So you're attending what kind of events, and were you just setting up a booth? Were you there as an attendee to network?
We're always participants. And okay. We've done so many. There's quite a few different setups. So I will use two examples of shows we did in the Bay Area. So one was in Alameda at a distillery, and the show is called, oh my gosh, it's by Jimmy Bauer. I have to remember it. It's in Head West Market. Really, really good show to participate in if you're a maker. And there's all different types of creatives there. So if you make candles, if you make clothing, if you make food like us, if you make anything, honestly, anything, you can participate in that show. And because it's also at a distillery, people are coming, they're hanging out for the day, they're drinking, they're shopping, and you're participating in an event within that community. So people always want to shop local, right? And that's what a good local event can help you with, building that relationship with your, within your community. Another event in San Francisco, we've done like SF Etsy during the holiday season. In Point Richmond, there's Craneway Craft, which is without a doubt my favorite show. It's humongous. There's thousands of specialty makers under one roof. And the venue is absolutely gorgeous. It has these clear story windows, and it has been happening for over 40 years. That show's been taking place. Shows are moving online. So far, I'll be honest with you, I haven't found a ton of value in the online events, simply because part of the reason people go to these events is to be around people. It's to feel that energy of hearing a maker's story, connecting with other creatives. Like, I feel like we do events 70% to connect with consumers and sell product, build our email list. And then the other 30% is to connect with other makers, because that creates future partnerships. Your community, the people that are rooting for you behind the scenes, the people who you can call and say, hey, I need help with my packaging. Like, who helped you with your labels? Who did you call for this? Who did you call for that? That's so valuable. So events are really, really important. I mean, I've become such good friends with other people that I've met at shows because our booths are next to each other.
That's so cool. I know you and I chatted before about there being learning opportunities with almost like, I don't want to say like crossover industries, but similar industries. And you had related the olive oil industry to the winemaking industry. I'd love for you to touch on that a little bit more, maybe how you found inspiration there or how you've been able to streamline the process through looking at different industries like the wine industry.
Yes. So oftentimes people ask me, how did you get into olive oil? And one does not simply go headfirst into the olive oil industry, because there are these giant iron gates that are just closed and slammed in your face. And you kind of have to, you got to like climb in the back window to get in.
You got to break in.
You really got to break in. They're not going to let you in the front door. So you got to like go up the fire escape. So I started off in the wine industry. When Giuseppe asked me to think about starting an olive oil company, I said, absolutely not. And I was working in the design industry at the time at an architecture firm, and I wasn't super happy with the direction that my career was going in. I felt like I was going to be in a stagnant place for a while. So I had a friend that owned a winery, and I said, hey, Shauna, this is Rockwall Wine in Alameda. I said, Shauna, can I please come work with you in the cellar during harvest? Giuseppe's told me he wants to start an olive oil company. I think he's crazy. But to find out whether or not this is a crazy idea, can I please come work with you during fall harvest? She said, absolutely. So I went and I worked with her to help make wine. And that experience really helped shape and prepare me for the experience of starting XL, because she is the head winemaker and the co-founder of that company, and she's leading this team of people every fall to create thousands and thousands of bottles of wine, or what will be thousands of bottles of wine. And so seeing her really take charge and be an incredible boss, team leader, and just overall role model for me was really inspiring. And she always encouraged me from the very beginning. She was like, if you're going to start this company, you need to move there. You need to just do it, give it a try. Like, I'll help you in whatever way I can. And they also used to have a lot of events. So working events at Rockwall Wine is like one of the first events that we ever did with XL. So I'm always really grateful to Shauna for giving me that opportunity.
That's so cool. She basically was the catalyst in a lot of ways to help you take that step.
And being around such large equipment, because I was coming from an office environment, and going into the agriculture world, going into the food world, where you're just around a lot of, it's so different. First off, it's much more manual labor, and you're around tanks that you can literally climb inside of, and you have to climb inside of to clean properly and to dig out grapes to get all the grapes out properly. So it's just, it was a completely different work environment and so much fun. And I said, I can do this.
Get me in that tank.
Get me in that tank. And we actually got new tanks late last year for in Calabria, and I can climb inside them. It's like my favorite thing to do. It's just so great. Like whenever we have to clean them.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so crazy. It's like you saw it, and so when it happened for you guys, you're like, oh yeah, I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the different varieties that you have and your product line. So is it just one type of olive oil that people can purchase? What's the different varieties that they can explore?
So on the family properties, we have different varietals. We have Catalea olives, which naturally only grow within 70 kilometers of Calabria. Now they're propagated so they grow in other parts of Calabria or other parts of Italy and all over the world, but they naturally only grow within 70 kilometers, and our property falls within that coastline, which is really special. So basically there's the sea, and then there's a Malibu kind of cliff, Malibu style cliff, and then an empty property.
Everyone can picture this right now. Everyone's like, oh, okay. I can see it.
It's the best way to describe it. And then an empty flat property in front of us, a dirt road, a fence, and then our olive trees. So they really have this beautiful view of the sun rising over the sea and then setting behind them into the hills. It's gorgeous.
That's amazing.
Yes. And the Catalea olives are growing in that environment with the breeze from the Ionian Sea and the tufo, which is like the tuff in the soil. It's creating all these really beautiful elements that are contributing to the very particular flavor profile that the Catalea olive has. And these notes come out in the oil. So if you get the Tutti, we have three different oils. The Tutti is a medium-bodied oil made mostly with Catalea olives, and it has notes of fresh green grass and green apple and hints of vegetable and herbs. And in the mouth, it's balanced and harmonious and sweet with notes of fruit, followed by bitter perceptions of artichoke and chicory, and finishing with pine nuts. So we get really specific with our description.
That sounds amazing. I'm like salivating right now. It's dinner time. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes. And it pairs really well with seafood, fish, salad, goat cheese, also with mozzarella. We just did an IG live with a friend last week and used the Tutti on some burrata and mozzarella, and it was so good.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And then we also grow Coratina, which Coratina is a varietal that's very, very well known in Puglia, the region which occupies the heel of Italy. And we have some Pendolino, Lecchino, and Nocciolare del Bollice, which are native to Sicily. And Sicily has really fantastic olive oil as well. And the Nocciolare olives grow very, very well in Calabria. And we've noticed that they, with that Ionian breeze, again, it just develops these really beautiful notes. So I'll move on to the Lina, which is a blend of the Catalea, Lecchino, Nocciolare del Bollice, and am I forgetting one? Coratina, if I haven't said that yet. And medium fruity notes of olives harvested medium yield of green, accompanied with sensation of tomato leaves and herbs. It's very well balanced and smooth, opens with sensations of fruit, followed with a bitter almond and finish of pungent spicy pepper, finishing with persistent notes of walnuts, and it pairs well with legumes and chicken.
Yum. Sounds so good. Oh my God.
So
I don't even want to ask my next question because I'm like, I can't talk about food or else I'm going to, people are going to hear my stomach growling. Yeah, go ahead. You use which for what?
I would use the Lena on like a roasted chicken dish. So I had my friend made, oh my God, her photography is absolutely gorgeous. I posted a couple of her pictures on our Instagram. She makes this roasted chicken with lemon and capers and olives. And every time I see it, I just think I would drizzle the Lena all over that.
Wow.
As a cooking and a finishing oil. So that's the other thing. A lot of people think, okay, so I can't cook with your olive oil. No, you can absolutely cook with our olive oil. I don't recommend, of course, frying your French fries in it.
Are people are talking about like smoke point when you say that?
Yes. And also the flavor is disappearing, but the foundation for a really, really great sauce, incredible beans, beautiful chicken dish is creating that base layer, that sauce, that jus, right? And if we don't start off with things that have really deep flavors, then the dish doesn't quite develop the same. So that's why I always say, like, if you're going to be cooking vegetables, use the tutti. Don't be afraid if you're making asparagus to use the tutti. Don't be afraid if you're baking chicken to use the Lena. And then you can always drizzle a little bit more on top as a finishing oil.
Which one is the most popular for customers?
The tutti.
Okay. And I have to ask, how much olive oil do you and Giuseppe go through a month? And then for your customers, how frequently are they buying?
So Giuseppe and I go through at least 100 liters of oil a year. And his parents go through about 150 liters a year.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, no. His aunt has a 500 liter tank that's full in her jarring basement. It's like her processing kitchen, which is in the lower part of her house. And she, so that 500 liter tank is full. Then she has another 300 liter tank, which is halfway full. She makes every single year, she like processes tomatoes. So she makes jarred tomatoes. If it's tuna season, she makes tuna, jarred tuna. She makes jarred olives. They use it for everything. And her husband, they're older. I think he's 94. And he's still like getting his chair out in the morning and going and finding that sliver of sun in the driveway and puts his chair down and reads.
Wow. That's a dream. And so what about your customers? So people are typically buying what sizes of this olive oil?
So it only comes in 500 milliliters, which is a half liter, and that's 16.9 fluid ounces. And if they're using a tablespoon a day, they're going to go through a bottle in 30 days. And I didn't even get to the Avis. I went on a tangent.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Avis is the last oil that we make. And it's so beautiful and has these depths and layers of flavor. And so it opens with notes of medium fruitiness, offering perceptions of olives harvested green, accompanied by sensations of tomato leaf and light fresh cut grass. In the mouth, it has a light sweetness, resulting in intense yet harmonious notes of the bitterness of almond, chicory, and artichoke, finishing with persistent artichoke, and pairs well with red meat, beans, and legume soup. Yum. And we just used the Avis last night on some navy beans that I made. And again, you eat food that's already good. And the base for this dish, I did use the Avis. And then again, drizzling the Avis as a finishing oil once the beans were already in a bowl. It just adds this roundness, this depth to it that pairs beautifully with the food. They say that choosing the wrong olive oil is like choosing the wrong wine for dinner. Would you choose a Cabernet Sauvignon if you're eating clams? Like, no, you wouldn't do that. So you know, it's really important to choose the right olive oil when you're cooking and as the finishing oil.
That's fascinating. On the note of your cooking, I have to ask, like, your website has beautiful recipes. What is the one dish right now that you and Giuseppe keep making in the summertime? And then maybe, like, what's your favorite recommendation for people when they first buy your olive oil?
Okay, so we are making, I've eaten pasta al pomodoro 3 times in the last week. I've also, we eat carbonara that's not a summer dish, but we eat carbonara at least once a week. We went 2 weeks without eating it and we were grumpy. Well, never again.
And you realize that's what it came down to.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And then what about for customers, like when they're trying your olive oil, what would you recommend that they make? I mean, obviously it depends on the type of olive oil like you just went through, but is there one dish that you're like, you absolutely have to make this with
XL? Yeah, make pasta aglio olio, which is pasta with garlic and olive oil, and use the tutti. Because with that dish, it literally is just garlic and olive oil. And yeah, parsley. But if you don't use a really high quality olive oil, you can taste it because there's only 2 or 3 ingredients.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just don't use too much garlic because
what's too much?
Like a garlic clove per person. Even if you're making it for 4 people, don't use 4 garlic cloves. Like, honestly, you really only need 2 because in Italian cooking, for some reason, we think that Italian cooking has like onions and garlic and onions and garlic. Really, in true Italian cooking, garlic is just a enhancer of food. It's not a main flavor. So a lot of people, when they make pasta aglio olio, they actually throw out the garlic. Like, once it's scented the oil, they take the whole garlic clove out and they don't eat it.
Interesting. So would you recommend that people, if they're making this dish, that they do the same, or should they keep it in there?
You're welcome to keep it in there if you like it. We keep it in there, but we only use like a clove and a half when we're making the dish.
And that's like the gateway dish.
That's a gateway dish. Don't burn your garlic. And my number one tip for cooking with extra virgin olive oil is do not put your pan on high. If you put the pan on high, you will burn the olive oil. It'll start smoking. And then you'll say, this is not a good cooking oil. We fry in extra virgin olive oil all the time. You can absolutely fry in it. You can't fry in it on high. You have to fry on medium, medium low.
Yeah, so it's like almost like telling people, just make sure that you're checking the temp of your olive oil, just in case. Yeah. Ooh, that sounds so good. What about, what's next for XAO? So you started late 2017. What's on the horizon for you guys?
Oh, we have so many things. I'm really excited for what's next. So we're launching the 3-liter tanks later this year, hopefully in December.
And when you say 3-liter tanks, like what does that entail and what does that mean?
The 3-liter tanks, it's literally just going to be a metal, like a metal tin that with oil that you're using to bake and cook with. And it's something our customers have been asking for a long time. And the label is going to be designed by a Black female artist.
So cool.
Yeah.
So that's just like you answering customer demand, really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one thing. What else?
2021, we're going to start trips to Calabria. So people will be able to come visit us and we'll give them estate tours. There'll be like week-long trips where we guide people around the region. We take them up to Sila and to the mountains. And we go to this incredible restaurant where one of the chefs was named one of the 30 best chefs in Italy under 30. And we're going to do a full olive oil tasting and taste lots of different, depending on the season, lots of different mushrooms, maybe some wild asparagus, just whatever is in season we'll be eating. And then when we go back down to the coast, eating lots of seafood, we're 45 minutes away from a wine region. So we'll go to the wine region and get a private estate tour of a local vineyard and drink some of the best wine in South Italy.
everyone's listening to this crying right now because of COVID. I'm like, when you launch this, I'm the first person to get on that goddamn plane and go over there, because I think everyone's so antsy at this point. And then when you say this, you're going to book out so fast. It sounds amazing.
And it's a different type of travel than people are used to seeing and experiencing in Italy, because Calabria really is the underdog in Italy. It is not talked about. It's not published very often. People don't really visit there a lot. It's not as famous as some of the places up north or some, like Sicily and Puglia. Calabria doesn't have that level of visitation yet. So it's really this quiet, beautiful place where there's a lot of farmers and there's a lot of nature. And honestly, getting stuck in traffic there is like getting stuck behind a tractor or because someone's cow decided to cross the road, because a lot of the livestock there are allowed to roam free, which is awesome, because then you're really, you know, you're getting organic milk, you're getting organic meat. And they're like, oh, that's so-and-so's cow, you know, like he's just on his way home. Yeah.
That's awesome. That sounds amazing. Where can people go to try out XAO, and where can they purchase the product? I know you guys are in high demand right now. So what is this looking like for any listener that wants to try you guys out?
Visit our website, xaooliveoil.com. I'll spell that out for you. So it's xaooliveoil.com. And we do sell by the bottle. We'll be launching pre-orders later this year, most likely in September, October. And then we also have the Olive Oil Club, which has sold out 6 times now. So it's sold out right now, but we'll see if we can bring it back into stock.
Unbelievable. Okay, great. And I'll include the link in the show notes so everyone can check you guys out.
Yeah. And also on social media, on Instagram, we're really active. So that way people can follow along while we're harvesting this fall. Go on a harvest tour. We actually have a harvest tour saved in our highlights. So if you want to check it out now, you can watch it now. But then once harvest comes back around, we're going to do it again. So I'll say, hey, this is last year's highlights. Go through and watch that, and then they can see the difference between last year's trees and the harvesting process we went through last year and compare it to this year. And I think that's really cool, because then you can see the difference, right? You're like, oh, the olives looked like that last year. Now they look like this year. It's documented.
And who's getting that experience online, on social? Like, no one. That is such a great learning of doing a firsthand look at the actual olive trees. Like, that's amazing. I'm sure everyone want to go follow along. I'm salivating right now. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. And I'll make sure to leave links in the show notes so everyone can go check you guys out.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you.
I hope you loved this episode as much as I did. Who learned so much about olive oil today? Okay, sorry. I know that sounds like we're in a classroom, but I love Skylar's tips about how they've been able to network at events and learn so much from other industries and have contacts in other industries that actually help propel them forward. Not only that, but I also loved her tips about Instagram Live, giving people a behind the scenes look. In addition to that, their Olive Oil Club is working out so well for them. So I really just love everything that they're doing to amp up the word of mouth about XAO. They're doing a really phenomenal job. And not only that, but they have an amazing product. So make sure to go check them out. As always, I'll have the links in the show notes. And a quick plug for the podcast. Since we are a brand new podcast, we would love it if you went and gave us a rating and review. Anything helps, especially in this first week as we're launching. On top of that, we'd also love for you to share this episode if you learned something that you loved, and send us a DM if you have suggestions for us, whether that's about sound quality or maybe a guest you'd want to suggest. We are all ears, so make sure to send us a DM at the Next Big Thing Pod on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening to this episode and being a fan of The Next Big Thing. I'll catch you in the next episode.